This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff to talk about today. Dana can be found everywhere. RadioDana.com is a great way to stay connected to her. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. Let's do some stuff. I find this to be very amusing. The amount of not necessarily politicians, but other people that are now breaking bad on Biden, on President Biden. George Stephanopoulos apparently wasn't aware this was TMZ. That's what it seems like to me. But a guy walked up to him with TMZ, said, "Hey, you've talked to Biden more than anybody else has talked to Biden. Do you think you should stay in this race or do you think you should drop out?" And unsurprising, well, I guess maybe surprising because of how honest it is, but unsurprising because of the obviousness to all of us that this is the right answer. George says, "I don't think you can make it four more years." It's kind of hard to understand, George, but luckily, TMZ is a professional. These people are, so they repeat it back to him, and he says yes, and then they walk away. Here we go.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What do you think? Do you think Biden should step down?
You talk to him more than anybody else have lately, and you could be honest. You don't think he can serve four more years? All right. That's an answer.
I do love the fact that TMZ is also like, well, that's an answer. I mean, you gave us one, and the answer is exactly what we expected it to be, which is that there is absolutely no reason that Biden should stay in this race. According to George, he has now tried to backtrack that, as well as ABC, everybody surrounding him. No one wants this to be out there, but it's out there. And then there was this breaking news report, too. Peter Ducey, awesome in giving it to us, talking about how George Clooney, one of the celebrities who was behind a giant fundraiser for Biden just a short time ago, a fundraiser that absolutely had to include Obama and others for the celebrities to show up, now apparently is withdrawing his support for Biden and wants him to drop out.
And this is extraordinary. Just a few minutes ago, George Clooney has posted an op-ed in the New York Times. I'm going to read a line from it. He says, "I love Joe Biden as a senator, as a vice president and president. I consider him a friend and I believe in him, believe in his character, believe in his morals." But he goes on to say he thinks that they need a new presidential nominee.
I love the guy. I'm a big fan. Love everything about him. Think he's great. I also think he should stop doing the stuff he's doing and go home immediately. That is George Clooney. I'm sure that even the Biden team was like, "Not Clooney. Can't possibly be this bad for us." As that's going on, Trump had a rally last night in Florida, and a huge crowd of people showed up, and Trump did his typical Trump thing. Two hilarious moments that I want to play. The first one where Trump offered to do a man-to-man debate. No moderators, no nothing. Just two guys in the middle of the street somewhere, probably on X, on YouTube, and a few other platforms. Well, YouTube would take it down if Trump was winning. But, you know, maybe Rumble. And just going after each other, just arguing with each other in broad daylight. That would be incredible. Of course, Biden would never do it, but hilarious for Trump to offer a man-to-man debate to help Biden go ahead and, fix his position with the American people, which, of course, this wouldn't do. Here we go.
"As you know, in our recent debate, and in honor of all of you, I dealt Joe Biden, even according to the fake news media, the most decisive and overwhelming defeat in the history of presidential debates." I think so, right? I think so. "And that was a big crowd that was watching. That was one of the highest rated shows ever on television. So I'm honored to be a part of it." I don't think he's too happy, but, I like being a part of it. "But even CNN said as I walked off the stage that it was one of the greatest performances they've ever seen, but it was sort of easy, if you want to know the truth. Our victory was so absolute that Joe's own party now wants him to throw in the towel and surrender the presidency after a single 90-minute performance. They want Crooked Joe out of the race. It's a shame the way they're treating him. But don't feel sorry for him. He's a very bad guy. He weaponized government. Remember that."
I think that's hilarious that you do the first minute on how I feel bad for Joe Biden now as Trump because I beat him and it wasn't that hard to beat him because his brain is broken and he was terrible during the debate. And it is true the way he says it, that now Democrats are finally admitting the thing that everyone else has been seeing for a while and want him to drop out. But Trump goes on to offer him a man-to-man debate.
He's a very bad guy. Don't feel sorry for him. So tonight I'm officially offering Joe the chance to redeem himself in front of the entire world. So Marco and Byron and everybody, here's what we're going to do. You guys can be referees if you like. Let's do another debate this week so that Sleepy Joe Biden can prove to everyone all over the world that he has what it takes to be president.
Let's do it. Let's go. Trump also asked him to do a golf 1v1, which I thought was hilarious, something that Biden actually had teased himself. And now after Trump said he would do it, Biden's team is backed out of it. But there was this moment, too.
And in the debate, Sleepy Joe also declared that he wanted to test his skills and stamina against mine on the golf course. Can you believe this? Did you ever see him swing? He's like this.
I know this is radio. I know you can't see it. Trump hunched over and swung the way that, say, any child would be swinging a stick that has no idea how to swing in golf.
That's why this evening I am also, and this is in honor of you and everybody. It is 45,000 people. That's a lot of people. I'm also officially challenging Crooked Joe to an 18-hole golf match right here. On Doral's Blue Monster, considered one of the greatest tournament golf courses
sure.
anywhere in the world. One of the great courses of the world. It will be among the most watched sporting events in history.
That's true, it would be.
Maybe bigger than the Ryder Cup or even the Masters.
I don't know about that, but maybe.
And I will even give Joe Biden 10 strokes aside. 10 strokes, that's a lot. That means 20 strokes in case you don't play golf.
Yeah, 10 each nine
holes. I will give him 10 strokes aside, and if he wins, I will give the charity of his choice, any charity that he wants, $1 million.
All right, look, I know that that's Trump at a campaign, at a rally, doing Trump's rally thing, but that would be amazing. You remember when Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson did one versus one in the world of golf, and people paid attention. They wanted to see if there were side bets per hole. All that stuff was going on. We need this version of Biden versus Trump on the golf course. $1 million to the charity of his choice if Biden can beat him in 10 strokes every nine holes is insane. And actually, I still think Trump, of course, would win because Biden can't seem to move at all. All right. One last thing that I want to play, and it's longer. That's why I'm getting to it so early. But Tom Elliott is incredible. He's a guy who's in charge of Grabian. He's a guy who puts out this stuff on X, on Twitter all the time, these supercuts. And they're always masterclasses in how to put together a whole bunch of crap that media tells you that demonstrates to you how much they lie and how corrupt they are. This is one of the better ones I've seen. This is, well, now he puts out a lot of great ones, as I said, but this is the newest one. It's all of the things that media said about Trump in 2017, 2018, 2019, about him being mentally unfit to be the president. You do not want Trump in office because his brain was damaged. These are the things that the media was telling us. Now they're trying to defend Joe Biden, who actually seems to have Parkinson's disease or some other issue mentally that's causing him to be incapable of speech. I can't believe how good this is, because if you just replace Trump every time they said it, this should be what they're saying about Biden. And of course, they aren't. The media is ridiculous. And this is a great demonstration from Tom Elliott. Here we go.
This was the first place where the 25th Amendment was discussed after Donald Trump was inaugurated, exactly 1 month into the Trump presidency.
To try and invoke something like the 25th Amendment, to do something about it.
And I think that as citizens, we have to think about what our options are. Is it impeachment? Is it the 25th Amendment?
Confronting a president who is so clearly lawless, so clearly out of control, so utterly uninformed.
If there are whispers about the 25th Amendment.
Are there whispers?
Among cabinet officials early on. About the 25th Amendment.
Whispers among cabinet members about the 25th Amendment.
Whispers among cabinet officials about invoking the 25th Amendment.
Whispering about the 25th Amendment.
Whispers in the cabinet about invoking the 25th Amendment.
Instability, amorality, inability to function.
And I think Donald Trump is wounded.
They should invoke the 25th Amendment.
Start discussing the 25th Amendment.
Investigate whether or not he's unfit.
The president may be unhinged and mercurial and constantly lying and doesn't know what he's doing.
We don't have
a president, and we have a president who's there, but he is not capable of doing the job or living up to the responsibilities.
That's 1 minute of a 9 minute thing that Tom Elliott put out on social media. That's just, it's a masterclass, as I said, of all the times that the left was doing the thing that they now condemn the right for doing. They said that it was cheap fakes and all that other crap leading up to the debate. And then Biden demonstrated his brain doesn't work to everybody. And now they're calling for him to go. George Clooney has even turned on Biden, which has got to hurt again, as I said. I don't know. George has not been a person that's ever weighed in on me. I'm not sure he'd be a fan, but nonetheless, I imagine it hurts when you lose the Clooney. But this is just, it's hilarious to hear it. Maybe I'll play more of this throughout the show today. Because every single one of these sentiments deserves to be said about the guy in charge and deserved to be said years ago about the guy in charge. And finally, media is saying some stuff, but they're not saying this yet. And they should be. The 25th Amendment should be used to remove Biden. It seems to be a favor to the Democratic Party to get rid of him because he's utterly incapable of beating Trump. But nonetheless, it seems as though if he's incapable of doing four more years of this job, he's probably not really a good fit right now. All right, I'll take a break on that. A lot to talk about today. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
As we move, our partners, they help bring you free radio. That's right. It's Patriot Mobile. I was using my Patriot Mobile service. You know, when I was traveling overseas, whenever I travel overseas, I never have an issue with my service, ever. I see so many people complaining about their cell phone service, and I'm like, I just don't really have that issue. It's so crazy. Don't even have that experience. Patriot Mobile just has the best coverage in all the big three, the three biggest carriers, and they're more affordable. They're more affordable because they're not using all your money to finance DEI and gun control and all this other stuff. They actually use it to help create and maintain American jobs because they have a full U.S.-based staff. And they're also providing affordable phone service, cell phone service for you. And you can get free activation using code DANA. You can keep your phone or you can keep your number, upgrade. The choice is entirely yours, and they'll help find you the perfect plan for your needs. And they just want to make it to where it's affordable in this Biden economy, but they also want to make it to where your values are actually, they got a little bit of momentum because of all the good work Patriot Mobile does. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code DANA to get that free activation. Make the switch today. patriotmobile.com/Dana or 972-PATRIOT.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. DanaRadio.com, a great way to stay connected to her chapter and verse newsletter, as you hear. She's on YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV, 347, all over the place. She's back on Monday. I am Craig Collins filling in. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, I got two that have to be in this quick five. The first one, Justice Sotomayor's bodyguard apparently shot a dude last week in D.C. The guy got shot in the mouth, rushed to the hospital. I think he's okay, but he's 18 years old, and he was a carjacker. He looks like he walked up to the wrong car and tried to rob it and immediately dealt with the justice of someone who's a trained bodyguard for a Supreme Court justice. What I think is interesting about this, it took a week for this story to come out, and it demonstrates just how abysmal parts of D.C. are, no matter who it is. They did say that they don't think the person was specifically targeting Justice Sotomayor. I'm sure if that was happening, we would have heard about this sooner, and media would have made a field day of it. But a U.S. Marshal handled an issue in D.C. that a lot of people in D.C. deal with all the time. That's just horrible. That's one story out there. There's another one. I debated if I can play this audio, but it's cops talking about a crazy person, so I'm pretty sure I can play it. An Ohio man was arrested after he broke into several stores, including a pet store. He fell asleep in the pet store and was found with hamsters in his pants. That's a thing. The guy's name is Matthew Pancake. I don't know if that's a real last name or a changed last name. I'm thrilled that his last name is Pancake. Here's a little bit of audio of some of the officers talking about the weirdest arrest they've had in a while.
We say it all the time. We never know what to expect in our job. And one day, you know, you're running after a suspect. The next day, you're running after a ferret or a bunny.
Yep, it's a ferret, a bunny, a suspect, or a dude with hamsters in his pants that's asleep in a pet store. That's got to be a bad look for this dude. He's not going to be happy that you can Google his name from now on and find that story. Probably employer's not going to be too thrilled about it. He's also not in Florida, which I found was surprising. He's in Ohio, but yeah, doing some things. A man in California went viral for posting a photo of a suggested tip at a bar where the bar thought that he should give 100% tip on a $24 tab. I don't know why that's what the computer came up with. The guy declined to go 100% and give a $50 check to a guy that gave him a $24 tab. In California, I imagine that's like one drink or maybe half of a shot or something. But nonetheless, this is hilarious because it's happening all the time and people are fed up with the ridiculousness of tip culture. I wonder if even the bartenders and waiters and waitresses of the world are actually upset with these crazy things, because I imagine that goes from a 20% tip to less because the machine asked for 100%. But nonetheless, that's another crazy story that's out there. I thought this was interesting, and I might be a victim of it like many of you. Smart thermostats might just be deciding to heat up your house or not run your air conditioning as hard as you want. That's a brand new thing. Power companies are, quote, messing with your thermostat remotely. If you have any smart ones and if you have them registered, some states even give you some sort of discount when you let them know you have them. So apparently more and more people are walking home and seeing, wait a minute, I left the house and the thermostat was set at this temperature, and now all of a sudden it's basically 100 degrees in my home because somebody turned it off. And that somebody might be, well, not somebody in the house. I thought that was really interesting. During the peak hours of 3 and 9 o'clock is when you're most likely to see someone mess with your thermostat. That's weird. You'd think it'd be earlier in the day. But nonetheless, this is something you should probably check on if you have a smart thermostat in the home. And then just one last one. Cartoon characters that should be president was a list that people filled out online. Batman came in at number one. Hilarious to me. We've got a broken brain president, and we'd rather have Batman in the White House. I'm for that. That's fine with me. All right, quick break. A lot coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can also find Dana at danaradio.com or @DanaRadio on X on Twitter. Nancy Pelosi is apparently in trouble as the latest person to give a weird answer when asked if she supports the current president for his run to reclaim the office, 4 more years of the broken brain Biden. Before I get to that audio, I want to play a couple things from Corinne Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, yesterday. One of them is a pretty amazing back and forth with Peter Doocy of Fox News. Before that, there was even this, which is a weird thing. This is the second time in 2 days that Corinne Jean-Pierre has released a late night statement correcting herself and something she said about Biden and meetings with renowned, say, Parkinson's disease experts. This was odd. But here we go. First, the audio where she says that wasn't a meeting between Biden and that doctor. That was something totally different that was going on that's in our visitor logs.
And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it didn't seem to explicitly describe the nature of Dr. Kennard's meeting with Dr. O'Connor. So can you say whether that one meeting was related to care for the president himself?
I can say that it was not.
I can say it was not. And then later on in the evening, I can say that it was. The exact opposite of what we said was true is in fact actually true, and something we might have confirmed back in February when we talked about how Biden meets with neurologists when he has his yearly checkup, his yearly physical. This is something that apparently she isn't aware of or lied about and got caught about. I don't know. But that's two nights in a row where you get a late night release of, yeah, okay, more stuff happened than you thought. Here's the back and forth with Ducey. I love this, and I got the full version of this. I could have played a shorter version, but I want the beginning part where she's trying very hard to say out loud that Biden makes a lot of jokes and some of that stuff that doesn't make any sense where the president is speaking and we all get confused. That's just because he's making silly jokes where people are laughing and we don't get it. We're not on the inside of this joke. Here we go.
Okay, Peter, I know we had our chat yesterday.
Yes, okay. Thank you, Corinne. Does President Biden commit to serving a full second term if reelected?
Yes.
Thank you. We know the president says that his health is fine, but it's just his brain, and that he's sharpest before.
He was joking, by the way. I just want to make sure that that's out there.
Uh-huh.
And people, what's the people, joke? He was making a.
I love the what's the joke response to that. He was joking, by the way. People might not have laughed or understood it, even though Corinne says people find him to be hilarious.
Lighthearted joke as he was speaking off. He's speaking off the cuff.
And brain doesn't work.
Joke. You know the president. He likes to joke a lot. He's okay. The same guy who says, I know I look 40, right? So he likes to make jokes.
It is a joke.
I think people laugh when he says it.
Well, I laugh for a different reason.
Sharp is before 8 p.m. So say that the Pentagon at some point picks up an incoming nuke. It's 11 p.m. Who do you call? The First Lady?
Okay, I'm going to stop it right there. Before you get the scary answer from Corinne Jean-Pierre, that's a brilliant question. And you might think that that's not a brilliant question, or people on the left are like, oh, how dare a Ducey ask something so dumb or so, you know, uniquely unlikely to occur, although I don't know how uniquely unlikely that is every day as things get scarier in our society. But nonetheless, I love this question because the answer is horrible and Ducey might have known it was coming.
He has a team that lets him know of any any news that is pertinent and important to the American people. He has someone or that is decided, obviously, with his National Security Council on who gets to tell him that news.
So Kevin McCarthy just said that.
I love when it's like, so what happens? It's 11 o'clock. Well, I don't know. We pick the right person to let him know. We also probably make a lot of decisions when he's still asleep and not awake and not working at any kind. Who's the team? Who are the people that are in charge of protecting the United States after 8 p.m. when Grandpa Joe goes to bed? Who are those individuals? I'm not really sure. A little more, Deuce.
He was the speaker. Many times when we had meetings in the Oval Office, Jill was there as well. When the First Lady is in these meetings, is she making decisions or is she just advising the president?
No, the president is the president of the United States. He makes decisions.
Why is she there?
Another family member. President Biden has told me before, he and his son don't have any business dealings together. So what is Hunter Biden doing in White House meetings?
Are you talking about the meeting where they came together from Camp David and the two of them?
I remember your story here, Corinne, where the two of them walked into a room and then Hunter didn't leave, which is a weird decision, by the way. But that's not the only one they're talking about. They're talking about a bunch more of those. And actually, I can go ahead and play a little bit of Trump audio that I thought are, in fact, Hunter and Jill, which is what has been reported sometimes more recently now as a concern.
I remember they said it was his son's home.
Yeah, it's Hunter's house.
His son is running it, right? You know that, right?
Yes. Some people do believe that.
He's running our government. And Jill is helping. Jill is helping. Where's Hunter? Remember the sign, where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? He's in the White House.
Yes, he's in the White House. He's at the briefings. He's at the meetings. He's having conversations he probably shouldn't be having, and that's very strange. Now, there's another thing I want to play moving on. This is Nancy Pelosi. She was on Morning Joe. She was having a conversation about Biden. I want to remind you before I hit play on this audio that our president has not only released a full letter saying that he's not going anywhere, he did a bunch of interviews, including one on this same program on MSNBC the day before Nancy Pelosi swings by, where he said he's not going anywhere. He's running. He's in the race. He's the candidate. Everybody's got to stop asking questions. Come together now. This is how Pelosi responds to that question the very next day after everything that Biden has said about how he's not going anywhere.
So, Madam Speaker, you just went through the president's record, but let me ask you about the current moment. Does he have your support to be the head of the Democratic ticket?
As long as the president had the president, it's up to the president to decide if he is going to run. Encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short.
You know what I love about this already? I'm going to stop it for a second. I'll play more of it. This sounds like a whole bunch of people that didn't like the answer they got, so they ignored it. And they're just standing there like, well, he's got to decide still. He's got to keep thinking about it. We got to get Jill and Hunter to agree with us that this is a bad move and then tell Grandpa Joe that he's not running anymore and he can go home finally. But she's referring to this as if there's no decision made. And Biden would be very upset if he was even capable of paying attention to this. I imagine he's not, though.
I think overwhelming support of the caucus. It's not for me to say. I'm not the head of the caucus. He's beloved.
Oh, they love him.
He is respected.
So great.
And people want him to make that decision.
They want him to make that decision. He's said it. He's said it a bunch of times that he's running.
He has said he has made the decision. He has said firmly this week he is going to run. Do you want him to run?
I want him to do whatever he decides to do.
That's my favorite part of that, by the way, is when you finally say it out loud to her. He's already made that decision. Do you want him to run? I want him to think about it more. It sounds like actually the way you treat a child too, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like if a kid isn't learning their lesson and you put them in a timeout and they get out of their timeout and they still don't seem to have learned whatever the bad thing is they did, that you keep talking to them like, well, you got to keep thinking about that. You got to keep deciding what you're supposed to do next time you get in the same situation. This is, I guess, if Biden refers to them as the elites dealing with him a certain way. But this is how everybody has treated this president for years now, because they all know the thing we now know, or a lot of us knew for a while. I do hate that. And I don't mean to prop up that narrative that the brand new information is that Biden's brain doesn't work. That's ridiculous. And that's media lying to you on purpose. You know what? Actually, let's play two other clips. This is CNN again, and a senator saying that, you know what, Biden is pretty much unelectable and Trump's going to win. And CNN seems to be upset to hear that information. And then actually a different interview with a DNC delegate saying things look real, real bad. Here we go.
My colleague Dana Bash reported that you, Senator John Tester, and Senator Sherrod Brown all said during that lunch that you don't think President Biden can win in 2024. Is that true?
Well, it's true that I said that. And I did say that behind closed doors. And you guys and others asked whether I had said it. And that is what I said. So I figured I should come here and say it publicly.
Why do you think he can't win in November?
I just think this race is on a trajectory that is very worrisome if you care about the future of this country. Joe Biden was 9 points up at this time. The last time he was running, Hillary Clinton was 5 points up. This is the first time in more than 20 years that a Republican president has been up in this part of the campaign. Donald Trump is on track, I think, to win this election.
Yeah, you're not alone in thinking that. A whole lot of people have thought that and said that for a while. Here's a DNC delegate saying the same thing.
Yes. So, you know, essentially, if Biden ends up running, potentially the Democrats could lose the Senate, the House, and the White House. And it's going to be a bloodbath. The blue states that we have held for many decades might potentially turn red. Trump is doing well when he runs against Biden in those states.
Like New York.
And then the swing states, the battleground states, they are looking terrible. So at this point, all the polling indicates that Trump is going to win. So we need to send the best and the brightest out there to run against Trump.
You know what's so interesting about that clip, by the way, that just 34 seconds, he said best and brightest, which, of course, is something Trump once said about the people who come into our country illegally. They're not the best. They're not the brightest, which I thought was interesting. But more important, this continued desire to pretend as though Biden hasn't made explicitly clear that he thinks he's still running for this office. Of a lot of Democrats are like, well, if he runs, if he's the candidate. And my favorite part about that is you remember, And this is something that a lot of people probably have been saying themselves, or at least someone in your family has been saying, that they're going to change it, that Trump's, or excuse me, that Biden's not going to be the candidate, that someone else is going to run against Trump, Michelle Obama, Oprah, whoever it is, whatever the wish list of individuals is. They've been saying it for so long now, so many of us have, and media, left-leaning, legacy media, was calling that a ridiculous conspiracy theory. How dare anybody say that? And now they're willingly saying out loud that it's got to be somebody else. Somebody has to replace him. We have to figure that out. We have to do this differently. I love that, too. If you just rewind the tape a couple years and use this audio, people would assume it's from, well, those individuals, the left-leaning people who only get their news from certain places, they would think it's from Fox News or some crazy place that they never listen to. And now it's the CNNs, the MSNBCs, the everybody else of the world, the Nancy Pelosi's and George Clooney saying out loud, we need somebody else and we need him now because Biden is about to be crushed by Trump. And that's something that is not new information to a whole lot of us. All right, I'll take another break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners who help bring you free radio, it's the folks over at ReadyWise. They want to make sure that you're prepared for anything that happens so that if you need food, you need good food, you have it. And you don't ever have to worry about where your food comes from, particularly in, you know, if you're in a period of a natural disaster, etc. And it's food insurance. It gives you a peace of mind. You can use promo code DANA20 to get 20% off of any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. And all of their food is made with high quality U.S. ingredients in a U.S. facility. Freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required. Easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com. Use code DANA20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code DANA20.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
This is The Dana Show. Thrilled to have you with us. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find Dana everywhere. D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter, danaradio.com. Great way to stay connected. All the places. You can find her everywhere. I found one story that I think is just buried out there in the world to be uniquely interesting to what's going on in Houston. And they're not going to feel like they're connected, but I promise they are. Houston right now is dealing with a bunch of power outages after Hurricane Beryl went through the area. It's awful because people are in, very high heat and other things without air conditioning, without ways to cool off. They're searching for ways to fuel up their cars, which, of course, thank God, not everybody's driving an electric car there. But that's the connection. I saw this story out of a small town, I think in Wyoming, where a bus was donated from the government to the school that is fully electric. And it's a very small town. Not many people live in the area. And kids actually first joked about the brand new bus sounding like a UFO when it was being used. But all of a sudden, it stopped working. It stopped charging. It was having other issues. And so a school that deeply depended on this free bus from the government, I needed to ship it away for repairs that were incredibly expensive and took several months to complete. And people started making jokes in the small town about how the $120,000 bus that they never would have been able to afford that they got for free from the government was horrible and actually worse than their rickety bus that they used to use only to move the football team from the school to the practice field that was less than a mile away, because that's the thing they needed replaced. I found that to be hilarious. And also, you know, somewhat concerning when you think about Houston. If everybody was forced into electric vehicles, like Democrats want us to be forced into electric vehicles, the situation would be even worse there. People wouldn't even be able to get around. They wouldn't be able to charge anything because it's abundantly stupid to count on electricity and electricity alone as a way to power everything, including your car. It's great that when some things aren't functioning, you have other avenues to do stuff like drive around, put gas in your vehicle, whatever. At least hybrid cars make more sense to me than just fully electric cars. But I thought that was an interesting just, thought experiment, if that's what you want to call it. In Chicago, over the very, very cold months of this past winter, I had a bunch of Teslas and things just sitting all over the place that nobody could charge because weather causes issues. If you have to repair something like this small town does, that causes issues and it's insanely expensive. And then also if you have horrible things like a hurricane sweep through and knock out power for everybody, then no one is going anywhere. It's interesting to me, again, that this one story is kind of buried and out there in the world. and that the Biden administration seems so proud of themselves for sending a free bus to a very small place that has almost no use for it. They don't really have charging stations available. It's tremendously difficult for them to handle the freeness and the value of something that doesn't just have gasket put into it and go, which is something that I think I can totally understand as far as how ridiculous it is. One other quick thing out there that I just thought was funny before we take a break, and this is something that I thought, you know, maybe a lot of people do. Apparently, the average American says I'm tired at least three times a day. 1,460 hours a year of feeling tired, according to a brand new poll online. 58% of us will avoid people in social interactions because we feel tired. 34% of us skip events. 27% have canceled plans on friends. That's what it feels like to get older, by the way. I'm almost 40, and I understand that I'm too tired to go do whatever you just invited me to do move that so many people have. But I do love another part of this. Anytime I say out loud, I'm tired too much, the wife tells me she doesn't care. It's like, stop saying that. I don't care. If you're tired, you can keep it to yourself. And it's hilarious because she's right. I do go a little bit on repeat with that, as apparently a lot of Americans do. But you gotta just buck up. You gotta figure it out, man. You gotta go into the world tired and live well. And hopefully you don't have to charge anything, especially in Houston. I feel bad for everybody there. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
I agree with Annie Oakley, who said, quote, "I would like to see every woman know how to handle guns as naturally as they know how to handle babies. Now, I myself regularly conceal carry a 9mm. Now, that said, not every woman is like me, has had the hours of training that I've had, or feels comfortable around firearms due to years of use, or maybe they're by a gun-free zone. I'd like to change that what I can while encouraging self-defense at the same time." So this is where Byrna comes in. It's kind of like a starter weapon. They make a non-firearm firearm. I like the idea of incredible force sending chemical irritants towards a threat as an additional option for women. And the Byrna SD model shoots chemical irritant projectiles, 68 caliber rounds that can deter threats in their tracks up to 50 feet away. I mean, it is hard. Easy target acquisition, zero recoil. Byrna is legal in all 50 states. There's no background checks, no permits required. It's shipped directly to your door. Gun-free isn't applicable to Byrna. It's great for wherever guns are banned. Visit Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off. That's BYRNA.com/Dana.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. Bunch of stuff out there to cover. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio to stay connected to her on Twitter, on X, all over social media, Rumble, Facebook, YouTube, DirecTV 347, the First TV, whatever you want. DanaRadio.com too. I thought this was interesting. A Supreme Court decision that's not getting as much coverage as the presidential immunity case. Of course, Democrats are already trying to do something that essentially tries to usurp any sort of power the Supreme Court would have in giving presidents immunity, specifically Trump, and trying to take it away. But the Chevron deference decision, the overturning of something that's long been criticized as a Supreme Court decision that overly empowered bureaucracy and parts of our, political system that allowed for states or other organizations to say, you know what? We defer any of our decision making to these federal agencies. We don't have to be involved in it. We don't have to do certain stuff. Whether that's as stupid as how many light bulbs you're allowed to own or what type of light bulbs you're allowed to own, the Chevron deference case from 1984 did empower bureaucracy. It empowered a lot of people who are not elected into positions, but have held them for a long time and make decisions about all kinds of things. And the Supreme Court decided to overturn that. And in doing so, and I think even CNBC has a story out about this where they're talking about it, seems to have projected that a lot of stuff could change, that there could be a, quote, legal earthquake, according to them, or even Chief Justice Roberts, on the amount of things that might be challenged now, because there were hundreds of cases that used the decision in the deference case as a way in which to back any sort of decision making or any sort of, you know, thing in which you're like, wait a minute, do you, state officials have the power to do this? Does the federal government have the power to do this? Can certain agencies decide on this or that? It seems that all of these things now could wind up being back and retried and changed. And so there's a huge amount of impact from a case that's getting very little coverage, but probably will get more and more and more as we go here. The Chevron deference case, or the Chevron reversal, I think as it's being referred to now, is something you'll probably know more about or hear more about over the next 12 months, I imagine. We will see, though. And of course, you'll just keep hearing about something totally stupid in the news, too. Project 2025. But I think that'll make way for a conversation about something more important. All right. I want to play a piece of audio that I thought was hilarious. Trump did a rally in Florida last night. He said a lot of Trump stuff, some of it very, very funny, including that he wants to play a round of golf against Biden, in which he'd give him 10 strokes per nine holes. It's an 18-hole challenge, so he gets 20 strokes on Trump. And if Biden somehow beats him in golf, Trump would donate $1 million to Biden's charity of choice. That's a real thing, he said. It's a thing that should happen, and it's awesome. But there was this other moment where CNN tried to read word for word, or while did read word for word, something Trump had said while they were still airing his rally in Florida. So they try to jump over it. They try to say stuff. And what's hilarious is, as they go through this, I think the point they're trying to make is that Trump's a terrible person who says terrible stuff. But this is epically good and I think utterly accurate. And a whole bunch of people who are reacting to it on social media are like, man, I can't believe that CNN read word for word this thing that Trump said, because it's hilarious how true it is. Here we go. Here's an example of what that was.
What happens if Kamala Harris is at the top of the ticket? I want to read to you exactly what he said, because he just said it moments ago, so we haven't been able to cut that sound yet. But he says, whatever else can be said about crooked Joe Biden, you have to give him credit for one brilliant decision. Picking Kamala Harris as his vice president was the greatest insurance policy of all time. If Joe had picked someone even halfway competent, they would have bounced him from his office years ago.
All right, so again, she's even apologizing that whoever the producers are at CNN couldn't cut Trump's audio of the rally while they reread something he just spoke. But that is so true. I just said this to a buddy of mine on a little podcast thing that I do. You can find me, Radio Craig C, if you want to, other places. That if you had a vice president right now that was overwhelmingly popular, that seemed utterly capable of the job and not a DEI hire like Kamala Harris. And I know you get in trouble when you say that, but darn it, it's true. And Democrats themselves were the ones that put it out there in 2019 and 2020. But I digress. If you had someone that was amazing, the odds of Biden being able to stay in this race are literally zero. It would be absolutely impossible to keep someone else who was an heir apparent that the Democratic Party loved from their chance to be in that seat. They'd even do it now. They would use the 25th Amendment to remove Biden from power, tell him that his brain is too broken and he has to go home with his son and his wife, who really are the ones who want to be in charge of the White House right now or in charge of the country. But they don't have that. They have a deeply unpopular fortune cookie version of a human that says things with such levels of dishonesty or lack of authenticity that they're full circle conversations where she really says nothing for 25 minutes. That's the biggest problem the Democratic Party has. It's not that they've been lying about Biden for so long. It's that they truly have no good second option to replace him with. And that says something about this party that you don't see very often in our society, which is they have no good secondary move, which means they have no way to even placate their base anymore. Their base is insane. Their base is protesting and supporting a terrorist organization. All the time, and what they're doing in one of many things that seems too difficult for them to handle, them being the Democrats. And as I say this, I want to look back on something else, probably a reason that this montage exists out there in the world. This is all the times that House Democrats have tried to cover up Biden's cognitive decline or his lack of ability to think things and say things. Just amazing how many times you heard people say he's a genius behind closed doors. We don't know what he looks like publicly because we don't even pay attention to that. And now kind of you have to. But the biggest reason for this existing for so long is that Harris is also terrible.
President Biden is absolutely fit.
He has knowledge of the issues. He has strategic thinking about legislating, all in the head.
I have spoken with the president. He is fully coherent. He is on top of detail.
He's sharp. He's fit. He's always answering questions.
I think that Joe Biden's mental acuity is very, very on. He's one of the smartest, sharpest people I've met in D.C.
There's no doubt in my mind.
Okay, I got to pause it right there. I feel bad for that lady. If that's one of the smartest people she's met in D.C., although I'm not all that surprised. I think D.C. has a lot of people that probably I would rate is not the smartest in the world or not the smartest in our country or not the best of the best. But nonetheless, if Biden's on the top of that list, yikes.
That the president is mentally fit for office.
Joe Biden rightly says that he has grown very wise in his many decades in public office.
As it stands today, you believe that President Biden is clear, candid, and convincing.
100%.
Oh, he's so good. He's so great. They just keep going and going. And this is something they've been doing for so long that now it's hard for them to all of a sudden pull back and change. All right, let's switch gears to something else. I know Biden is all over the news and probably rightfully so, because finally a news media is admitting that his brain doesn't work. But Corinne Jean-Pierre was talking about something else that I thought was really fascinating at yesterday's White House press briefing. The White House press secretary, she got a question about Iran and how they're using assets to fuel pro-Hamas, pro-Palestine, whatever you want to call it, protests in the United States. Iran is trying to influence the way in which people behave in our country. That's not new information to some of us out there, but this would be one of the scarier things for this administration to ignore or pretend isn't happening. And based on the answer Corinne Jean-Pierre gave, I don't feel so good about what they're doing to try to prevent this and stop this. There's even an admission from the DNI that they, Iranian assets, are paying people to protest, which, again, not all that shocking to people who've been paying attention for a while, but certainly something that this White House would continue to say is utterly untrue and a conspiracy theory.
One other thing that's come up in the last little bit, the Director of National Intelligence, Admiral Haines, I don't know if you've seen this, issued a statement a little while ago saying in part, in recent weeks, Iranian government actors have sought to opportunistically take advantage of ongoing protests regarding the war in Gaza, the playbook we've seen other actors use over the years. We've observed actors tied to Iran's government posing as activists online, seeking to encourage protests and even providing financial support to protesters. She goes on later to urge Americans to remain vigilant as they engage online with accounts and actors they don't personally know. But that's a pretty big charge to make, that Iran may be trying to influence these protests in the streets of the United States.
The Director of National Intelligence said out loud the other day, and maybe this was intent to be a distraction, because again, it's not something that everyone that hears this would think is impossible or not something that happens all the time, but nonetheless said out loud that Iran is using stupid young people in ways that are making stupid young people protest things that benefit Iran and a terrorist group in Hamas. That's bad. Let's see how Corinne Jean-Pierre handles it.
So, yes, I know what you're speaking of, what the DNI warned about. Obviously, for any specifics, I would have to refer you back to Director Haines and her.
I know what you're talking about. I can't really talk about it specifically because I don't want to know about it.
Statement, but broadly speaking here, just bear with me for a second.
All right.
Iran is seeking to opportunistically take advantage of protest. So I want to echo the DNI's remarks today. Americans across the political spectrum acting in good faith have sought to express their own independent views on the conflict in Gaza. The freedom to express diverse views when done peacefully is essential to our democracy.
By the way, she's reading from a script as she starts going through all this, saying how, you know, it's so important to respect everybody's opinion and make sure that anyone who wants to voice their concern. And that's true. I do agree that protests are a fundamental right of living and being a part of the United States. But when you have Iranian backed assets that are literally paying people to protest in the streets, and then you finally have the Democratic Party somewhat acknowledging it because the DNI is acknowledging it, you have something that's long been thought of as a conspiracy theory out there in the world. And still, the first response of this White House, of this administration, is to defend those that may be being taken advantage of by Iran. We want to make sure that everybody understands that their voice matters and is important. Even the people who are being paid by a country that is not exactly our friend, that is propping up a terrorist group that wants to kill everyone in Israel. And oh, by the way, also kill everyone in America. That's another thing that Hamas would desire, or another of their stated goals. But nonetheless, as you hear all that, you got to go into the wokeism first and make sure that everybody hears the White House say, we support you, protester, young person, who's been talking to someone that's an Iranian asset online, and then you go out and protest and you get some money in your bank because of it. All those things are fine as long as you're doing them in good faith, however much they're wielding your stupidity against you. which is something that the Democratic Party also seems to like to do a whole lot until eventually they can't anymore when Biden can't finish sentences on a national stage. All right, I'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
According to a March 2024 report from the Association of American Medical Colleges, the U.S. is facing a shortage of 86,000 doctors by 2036. Already, wait times to see a doctor nearly reach 4 weeks. That's a troubling trend set to worsen. And your alternative? Lengthy hours in the ER or urgent care amid a whole crowd of ill people. Yeah, no. Take control of your own health care. Order a medical emergency kit from The Wellness Company. Now, this is not, I repeat, it's not a first aid kit. It's like having an urgent care in your home. It's super handy. It comes with doctor prescribed medicines for over 30 medical issues, antibiotics for infections, strep throat. I've used it, pneumonia, bronchitis, all kinds of stuff. Match your symptoms to the prescription in your booklet and take the correct meds now to get well faster. There's no waiting for a doctor or a pharmacy or being around tons of sick people. Every home should have at least one medical emergency kit, and you can order yours online in literally minutes. Get 15% off at twc.health/Dana and use promo code Dana. That's promo code Dana at twc.health/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find her everywhere, Dana Radio or D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter, DanaRadio.com, by the way. Let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I got to do this real quick. First, Taco Bell apparently is going to lean into something called Grandma Core. Gen Z likes old people stuff. That's the description online. So Taco Bell for 1 week in California is going to put on the Cantina's retirement thing that encourages young people to go to an event around Taco Bell that is, quote unquote, the experience of retirement for 2 nights, plus elevated Taco Bell dining. This is beyond dumb. If young people already want to retire, which I imagine a whole lot of them do, and just be social media influencers, it's a demonstration of how broken our world is. Other things out there, a dude in Jersey is a super fan of Wawa, and that makes sense. I'm also from Jersey, and they got great food. Anyway, he tried to complete the Wawa challenge, which, according to this guy named Tyler, is getting every order number from 0 to 999. He finally got it done. I feel a little bad for him because this is a tad obsessive, but here he is talking about it.
With a coffee, and then I'll usually get lunch from there, sometimes dinner. So the collection just got bigger and bigger, and then eventually I was just like, okay, well, now I need to collect all of them. And now here we are.
And now I don't know what else to do with my life. I am viral for a thing that not a lot of people are going to respect. But hey, Wawa's great. I'm not judging you. Another thing out there that I do like, and it's probably because I'm a juvenile, a guy has gone viral for using a fake third leg to walk around in a town. A woman who saw him out in the street reacted, and that video was all over the place. Yes, you can make a lot of jokes if you want, sound like you're all of a sudden part of an Austin Powers movie. That's a dated reference, but I can't help myself. But here it is. Here's the guy who made a fake third leg just to freak people out on the street, and it definitely was working.
What am I looking at here? What am I looking at?
I love that woman. The guy moves the third leg, which, again, not real, with his arm and apparently some sort of device that is also creating an extra leg in his pants. The guy is proud to be the quote-unquote first three-legged man. Again, not that he's the first person to make that claim, but he's the first guy to go viral on the internet for a very dumb reason. I can't help it. One last thing out there as far as a quick five goes. Guess what? 94% of artificially intelligence written college exams went undetected in a startling study, meaning cheat GPT or chat GPT. Really, really good at getting you through your college courses, as long as it also says whatever woke agenda might be, on par with your college professors. But that's a bad look. 94% of these AI written things were things that did not get caught when people were trying to do this intentionally. Good luck to us. Good luck to society and the three-legged man. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Celebrate America's founding principles of God-given natural rights, liberty, and limited government with Hillsdale College. And thanks to the team at Hillsdale College, you can watch an inspiring portrayal of Thomas Jefferson reflecting on the Declaration of Independence in a letter that he wrote late in his life. Watch the inspiring video on Thomas Jefferson's letter about the Declaration of Independence written on its 50th anniversary. Amidst the far left's rejection of liberty and equality, let's reaffirm these principles as America's source of greatness, a treasure to preserve. Join me in reminding ourselves and our children and our fellow citizens about the blessings of liberty. Since its founding in 1844, Hillsdale College has stayed true to its mission of providing the education necessary to safeguard principles rooted in the Declaration signed on July 4th. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com to view this video and receive a free commemorative copy of the Declaration from Hillsdale as our thanks. Keep it or pass it on. Visit Dana4Hillsdale.com. And on behalf of Hillsdale College, let us always treasure America's independence.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Thrilled to be with you. You can find Dana everywhere. She's all over the internet. Rumble, YouTube, DirecTV, Channel 347. Whatever you need, you can find her. She's that popular and that impressive as a human being. I am not trying to kiss up. I'm just being honest. She's all over the place. All right. I'm Craig, as I said, filling in. I'm not as popular. Radio Craig C, if you want to follow me. I love a couple things I just got sent from producer Steven that are interesting and out there in the world. First, a Chicago fundraising group is going to cancel an event that was scheduled during the Democratic National Convention, the one that's probably going to announce Biden as its candidate, although maybe not if Democrats get their way in the very short amount of time they've given themselves left. Apparently, these fundraisers don't really want to be a part of this anymore, as Biden is demonstrating just how terrible he is at this job. This is not new. We've heard this about other people. A Disney heiress who said she's not doing anything anymore. George Clooney is out there now, apparently. And I do love that that was breaking news. Even Fox covered it and Peter Doocy covered it. And I can actually play that audio for you in just a second. But even Clooney is saying you got to step aside, sir. You know, the performative aspects of Democratic politics, politics in general, for sure, but Democratic politics specifically, couldn't be more on display than when you have stuff like this happening. And when you have reports about how George Clooney is now stepping aside in his potential support for the current president, you do also have a George Stephanopoulos thing that I thought was pretty interesting. Maybe we'll play that first. But nonetheless, top Chicago donors are halting their convention fundraising because not a good idea. Also, I do have House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. I think it was tweeted out earlier today. Again, a great catch by producer Steven that some Democrats have been saying things to Jeffries, and he's going to have a meeting with Biden to chit chat about what's being said. I imagine it's not good. I imagine it's more of the things that Stephanopoulos and Clooney are saying. All right, let's do the Battle of the Georges, and let's do Stephanopoulos first. He was found on the street by TMZ, and a guy that kind of held his phone down to the side. So I think that probably Stephanopoulos was not aware he was being recorded, which is legal in New York. You can do that. Was asked an honest question and gave an honest answer, something he is now trying to backtrack, and ABC is trying to backtrack from, which I find hilarious. But here we go.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What do you think? Do you think Biden should step down?
You talked to him more than anybody else have lately. And you could be honest. You don't think he can serve four more years? All right. That's an answer.
All right. I love that. And if you didn't really hear it, the TMZ reporter went ahead and repeated it for you. You don't think he can serve another 4 years. That's what Stephanopoulos said. And yeah, that is an answer. Indeed. As I said, you also have the report from Fox and Peter Doocy saying that George Clooney, one of the famous Hollywood people who just helped fundraise for Biden in California, demanding that Obama actually show up before they organized any of this, is apparently now pulling his support.
And this is extraordinary. Just a few minutes ago, George Clooney has posted an op-ed in the New York Times. I'm going to read a line from it. He says, "I love Joe Biden as a as a senator, as a vice president and president. I consider him a friend, and I believe in him, believe in his character, believe in his morals. But he goes on to say he thinks that they need a new presidential nominee.
Yeah.
I remember just a couple weeks ago, President Biden raced back from Europe to get to Los Angeles for a George Clooney-hosted fundraiser where Barack Obama was also there, Bill Clinton was there. Mm-hmm. George Clooney is now saying that after he watched the debate, mm-hmm. he wants a new top of the ticket. That is going to sting.
You know what actually this is like? This is how I should have compared it, because I know this is pretty much all people are talking about right now, and it might get annoying. But the version of it's finally okay to say out loud that you don't support Biden because he's been terrible at his job. His brain doesn't work anymore. You pick the reason is the debate. More and more people are now like, wait a minute, it's okay. I'm not going to get eaten by my own. I'm not going to have the Jon Stewart reaction when Jon Stewart did his first Daily Show months ago and said that Biden seemed like he wasn't all there and then said that he got a crazy amount of responses from the left-leaning media saying how bad he was at his job and Stewart should re-retire. Those are all things that really happened. I'm not trying to overly praise Stewart. I'm just saying that the left attacks its own often. Now the debate seems like finally the moment where people are like, okay, yeah, now you can say it without getting attacked or maybe getting attacked a little bit less by some of the crazies. Here's a moment of Joe himself rambling through another speech that he gave, which seems to demonstrate yet again he's going to be awful if you let him stay in this job for another day, much less another 4 years.
And I think of you as my domestic NATO, not a joke, not a joke.
No one thought it was a joke.
You're
sir.
The ones, you're the ones beyond me. And, you know, you know Matt with this better than I do.
Beyond what? Me,
it's all about whether or not we're going to grow the economy.
All right.
Whether we're going to give working people a shot.
You didn't do that.
And I told you, and you know, because you, a lot of you were there with me all the way back when I was a kid, and I'm only 42, but.
What? I love that. As he's saying to a crowd of people, you were all there with me, and you know, for a while with this stuff, and I'm 40 something, and that was a joke, people. I don't know if you can tell it was a joke. Oh my God. That is the current president of the United States. All right, let's play a little bit more from Trump and his rally in Florida. He said that half of Americans are incapable of doing something that crooked Joe Biden or Sleepy Joe or whatever nickname he wants to give him has done a whole lot of. You can probably guess what it was.
Under Biden and Harris, half of Americans are not taking a vacation at all this summer because they can't afford to do it. Most say it's because the cost of daily life is so high, no matter what they make, they can't. Because, you know, they like to say 20%, 29%, 26%. 31%. I think your inflation, your real inflation, is way over 50%, and I believe that. Meanwhile, Crooked Joe has spent almost 50% of his presidency on vacation. Almost all of it, including many, many weeks on the beach. And mansions are in. Think of this. Here's a guy that's been a politician all his life. He's got homes in the Virgin Islands, Nantucket, Lake Tahoe, Kiowa Island. I mean, where the hell did I get all this money, Byron?
I love that he asked his own son where they got all this money, almost as if he's blaming Byron for not doing a better job at cashing in on Pop's job when he was in the White House. One other quick thing that I saw from Axios that I thought was pretty funny. Apparently, there was a House Democrats come to Jesus meeting about President Biden and his likely path forward or lack of a path forward. It included, this is all according to Axios, you can look it up if you want yourself, a small group of swing district Democrats that started to cry actual tears during the conversation because Biden is doing terrible in swing states. Biden is doing shockingly bad in some deep blue states like New York, which now seem to be potential battlegrounds. There's a bunch of things going on, but I love this, that some people on this phone call, on this large group of Democrats talking about things, just went into tears, which sounds like it's the actual move most often of people on that side of the political aisle. You don't actually take action. You just get sad when you can't do the things you want. Actually, even the Breakfast Club, which is a weird thing that's been going viral on its own, seems to be admitting on one of its recent shows that there is no chance that Biden will be the president if he stays in this race, and that Trump will easily be elected. There were even listeners calling in to that show, The Breakfast Club, and saying some horrific things I can't play on the air about how there's no chance forward for their guy and the other guy's definitely going to win. The other guy, of course, being Trump. I find that hilarious, though, that even there, they're saying these things out loud and being a little bit more confused than maybe you would expect them to be, because this has been very obvious and out there for a long time. All right. There's one other thing I do want to play. I played it a little earlier, but it's so good. You got to play it again. Tom Elliott's a guy at Grabian. Grabian's a website that can help you pull all kinds of different clips if you want to, if you're somebody who works in media, whatever it might be, of stuff going on in the world of mainstream news or anyone else. And he put together one of the better things. And honestly, this guy's great and does this often, but better things I've seen in a while. This is Democrats in 2017, 2018, 2019 saying that Trump was unfit mentally and needed to be removed from office by the 25th Amendment, something that is obviously of need for Biden right now, but something that Democrats were saying and doing and now would be irate if Republicans tried to go that road or have talked about going that road. It's so good as far as catching the hypocrisy of politicians and media and just all this crap that's out there. But here, this is a minute or so of a 9-minute supercut of all the crazy things Democrats said about trying to remove Trump from the office this way, that way, any way they could. And again, as you continue to run a man who seems mentally incapable of a lot of things, it begs the question of how you can possibly be this dishonest, this disingenuous, this just evil in your day-to-day life, but darn it, so many of these people are.
Responsibility as the U.S. Congress, and we've got that under the 25th Amendment. Everybody should go and read it.
No, Trump needs to be medicated and hospitalized at this point, or he is going to just kill all of us.
People are talking about the 25th Amendment, and they're saying he's just not mentally fit to be the president, and I think if you're doing this, I mean, is there a mental fitness problem? We all know the ramifications of nuclear war.
Is Biden concerned about the president? Mental fitness.
This president is not fit.
This is 25th Amendment kind of stuff.
That should have already activated the vice president and a majority of the cabinet to remove the president as unfit to serve under the 25th Amendment.
And invoking things like the 25th Amendment. You know, they brought in this Yale psychiatrist.
Watch the president closely. Is there a case to be made for the 25th Amendment, specifically under the 25th Amendment?
President's not fit for command.
But, oh, man, he's really having some problems here.
That's where the 25th Amendment thing started to...
Okay, there's 9 minutes of this, which, again, a genius stroke by Tom Elliott to go and find this out there in the world. But it's amazing, because as you listen to all of these things, again, if you were replacing the name Trump with the name Biden, you'd be shocked at how honest media can be. But it's 2017, 2018, and they're going after Trump because they don't like the stuff he's saying or the things he's doing, and not because he couldn't finish his sentences or he was getting lost on stage on a daily basis. It's just amazing to watch, amazing to see a willingness to attack, 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 and then defend, 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 depending on which side of the aisle's in power. You don't need to question if media is biased. You just need to watch stuff like this to realize just how deeply biased and crazy it is and how bad it is. How they're essentially, as some politicians have said, and it's almost tinfoil hatty to the other side of the aisle when you say it, the enemy of the people. Because this level of you know, lack of truth-telling and need to do specific things to further agenda is, it's terrifying, but also, granted to me, darkly humorous. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners over at Kel-Tec, great Florida company. And the story of Kel-Tec, George Kellgren, coming to the United States from Sweden, this is back in like 1991, and basing the company in Florida, creating pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, all kinds of gear. And they've been continuing their mission of game-changing innovation with their Sub-2K Gen 3. We've talked for a good half year about the Sub-2K Gen 3. Light, foldable, effective. The Gen 3 version, you don't have to detach your favorite optics anymore to fold it in half. You can do so. Keep your optics, all that on. Folds right in half just as quickly and easily deploys as well. Upgraded action, redesigned operating handle for added comfort, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open, all providing improved manipulation, lightened 5-pound pull on the trigger, firearms that are quality made right here in the US of A. So see everything Kel-Tec has to offer for yourself at KelTecWeapons.com and be sure to follow them on social media. That's KELTECweapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Tired of the same old predictable commentary? Spice up your day with a Dana Show podcast, where dynamic discussions, compelling guests, and Dana's unique perspective await. Download on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. This is the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in at Radio Craig C for me. Way more popular person at D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on social media for her. She's the way more popular person, of course. Follow her for all the information you need about this show or anything going on. Let's do some Florida Man stories.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Florida Man's a lot of fun. The first one is an amazing video that I wish I could show you, but I can't because it's radio. So look it up for yourself if you'd like. I think Fox 7 in Austin is one of the places that shared this thing. A Florida man survived a 60-foot plunge into a creek with only minor injuries. The reason the video is so good is all you see is a tree and a rope. You don't see the guy. He's already past wherever he set up the camera to be, higher up on the tree than he probably should be. Then all of a sudden you see what seems to be a snapped tree branch that probably is the reason he fell, and a dude holding it and then bouncing off of some other branches on the tree and then splashing into the water. It's amazing to watch. There's no audio that I could find. Just the video version is out there. And the dude's fine. His name's Christopher. He's like, oh, that was not great. But I guess he just kind of shook it off and kept going. I don't know what he was doing climbing the tree. I don't know any of the other details of what's going on. But just watching a dude fall while holding a tree branch no longer connected to a tree in Florida is about peak Florida man, if I've ever seen it. No word on if alcohol was involved at all. I'm going to guess about that, but I can't be sure. Other Florida man stories out there. A Florida man is accused of breaking into his neighbor's home. The reason this probably went viral and Fox 35 in Orlando covered this one is because his neighbor is dead. I don't know why the Florida guy thought, hey, free house, I'm going to go ahead and swing in over here. But cops said that's not something you're allowed to do. The man's name is Jody. I'm not judging. I'm just putting it out there. His first name is Jody. He's 52. He was charged with unarmed burglary of an unoccupied dwelling because he just decided to live in his neighbor's home. He was there for about a week, authorities think, before they caught him. And he finds himself now behind bars. He didn't have much of a good explanation for what he said he did, other than the fact that he knew his neighbor had passed away. And he noticed that nobody was really going into the house. So all of a sudden, a man named Jody took it upon himself to do some things. All right, one other one out there in the world, not exactly the most fun story, certainly something where you think that the name of this person might actually be Biden, but a Daytona Beach man inappropriately touched girls in an apartment pool. He was arrested for that. That is certainly something that's more, you know, disgusting than anything else. Some of the women were, or children were young as 12. Again, the only reason I make a reference to Biden is there's this weird video going around right now where a president seems to be like making some sort of strange joke with a child where he's pretending to eat the child's back. And I don't know how to say that differently. You can find the video out there. This dude inappropriately touching people. His name's Kevin, 57 years old, sent to jail for that because, well, that's horrible. But nonetheless, yet another Florida man doing Florida man things that maybe he learned from the president. That's going to feel like a shot that people think was inappropriate to take. But watch the video of Biden dealing with a child by doing the strangest thing. And honestly, you can see the face of the mom just real quick. I know this isn't about Biden, but I can't help it. And how upset she is as the president is doing a really dumb, stupid thing. It's not every day that you see some stranger that upset with a man that they showed up to support after he makes a weird decision as she's holding a child very close to him. But it's not a first for our president, and I assume not a first for this Florida dude to be an awful person as he's been. But those are the Florida man stories out there in the world. You got to watch the video of the 60-foot plunge, not just because the guy's okay, but it is hilarious to see the way he basically didn't move. All right, quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. As you just heard, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter is a great way to stay connected to her. I listen to her every day, the Audacity app, a whole bunch of places. how to stay connected, DanaRadio.com. Let's do this. Let's play the interview heard around the world. I don't know if that's what that really is. But Nancy Pelosi, one of many people who's still behaving as though Biden hasn't said again and again and again, and then written a letter and then another letter about how he's staying in the race and he's the nominee and he's going to run for office, that maybe he's not running, which seems that she knows something that Biden doesn't know, which is true of most people on this earth right now with current Biden. But here's what Pelosi said on Morning Joe one day after Biden defiantly said he's absolutely running and is the candidate for the Democratic Party.
Does he have your support to be the head of the Democratic ticket?
As long as the president has, it's up to the president to decide if he is going to run. We're all encouraging him to make that decision because time is running short. I think overwhelming support of the caucus. It's not for me to say. I'm not the head of the caucus anymore. But he's beloved. He is respected, and people want him to make that decision.
He has,
not me.
He has said he has made the decision. He has said firmly this week he is going to run. Do you want him to run?
I want him to do whatever he decides to do, and that's
how can you say that as an answer to the? He said he's running. He's made his decision. Do you want him to be in charge? I want him to think about it more. I want him to try harder before he discusses it. Then Pelosi was actually asked in a hallway why she said what she said and if she supports Biden. And she got all mad at the person asking her questions in the hallway. I'm not talking to you about this stuff, which was a weird response after talking about it on Morning Joe.
Conveyed to President Biden what you said this morning.
I'm not having any
I know it's hard to understand that if you can't hear. She says, did you tell Biden what you said this morning on TV? And Pelosi says, I'm not telling you or anybody else, with all due respect. It sounds like the version of with all due respect you heard from Talladega Nights. But I'm not telling you what I say to Biden or anybody else. How dare you, lady?
I never do. I never do. So it's nothing new.
I understand that, Speaker. Do you believe that him waiting so long to make this decision could
possibly be
Oh man, she goes, am I speaking English to you? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I'm not talking to you about this. I'm not bringing this up anymore. We hope that Biden does the right thing. That's the unspoken version of what she's trying to say, and drops out of the sucker because we need him to. By the way, there's a report out there, I think it's from Newsweek and some other places, saying just how many young voters are flocking to the Republican Party. I remember I first started talking about this a few months ago, and one of my own personal observations was going on certain social media sites and seeing a larger number than I ever remember of young-looking people defending Trump on certain sites in all kinds of ways, whether it was defending him after the judicial system went after him, defending him for being the person who's going to make your life better than Biden made it. But I saw that, and I read some of the trends and data, and I know that I was accused at times of just making it up by crazy people out there. But a brand new study, again, reinforces this idea. For the first time in a very long time, voters under the age of 30, and granted, it's only by a couple percentage points, identify more often as members of the GOP or Republicans than they do as Democrats. The percentage is 48 to 46 or so. And this actually took place before the debate. This started as a poll in February and then ran until early June. So 5,626 U.S. adults under the age of 30 were asked a question. And for the first time in a long time, data demonstrated that more of them identified as conservatives than as liberals. And that's probably because of all the ridiculousness and the lying and the craziness, and then just how bad in general your life is with Biden being in charge of stuff. And actually, to prove this point even further, which is odd, there's this story about a young woman, 21, still going to college. I think this is in a very small town in Georgia, who just got elected mayor. Now, she says that politics is in her blood. Her father was the mayor of this small town of like 500 people. Her name is Brooke. She's, as I said, a college student who's not quitting school to be mayor of the town. I think CNN and other places did like a digital story on this, and I have some of that audio. Let me see if I can play a little bit of that.
It was just the
lack of interest in all the people my age, and they don't really care about politics. And it really inspired me to kind of take the jump in and go ahead and get a head start on it. The older generation's not always going to be around to handle things, and
right.
for us.
Well, managing the town of Araby.
I love the fact that, and you got a like child doing the story too. It sounds like a very young voice saying that she's going to manage the town. Here, I'll play the audio. I will also not quitting school.
Just under 500 people, Brooke Huckabee is still taking college courses. She's working to earn her agricultural technology degree at Avery Baldwin Agricultural College. She also works part-time as a support services worker with the Georgia Department of Agriculture. While running for office, some citizens questioned her ability to run at such a young age.
Sure.
She believes this is the best place to learn more about government.
How is someone supposed to gain the experience without putting themselves into the ring?
Okay, I love that point, although I do think that shooting for mayor of your town is probably a little bit of a high leverage situation that most people wouldn't actually achieve at the age of, say, 21, while also still trying to continue your education and go to school and whatnot. But nonetheless, this young person, now the mayor of 500 people, feels that it's the best way for her to learn how politics work, while also working on trying to be in the world of agriculture, which seems pretty good. I do love that story. It's being praised on the left as a thing that demonstrates that young people are actively participating in politics. But what's funny about it is she's a conservative, and she's someone who probably doesn't align with the CNNs of the world, who are celebrating her and some of the headline grabbing parts of the story and not necessarily any of the other stuff out there. I don't know if this matters to people. I know that at least one person commented on this. The woman is also relatively attractive and seems to have a decent social media following. So was it like an Instagram influencer type of thing? I don't know. It's 500 people in a small place in Georgia. I imagine name recognition and her father having also been mayor probably helped her more than anything else. But I thought it was interesting it was out there. Another thing that deserves to be talked about today that is not about Biden and how broken his brain is Alec Baldwin. His Rust trial has finally started. This comes on the heels of the fact that Alec Baldwin is going to do a reality show with his wife, who suddenly doesn't use a fake accent anymore, and their family, which is odd, as he's also being tried for committing murder. Now, anybody who knows anything about guns, and this should be everyone in the world of Hollywood, if you're going to be handed a gun, whether it has blanks in it or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. But anybody who's a responsible gun owner, like I am, like Dana is, like all kinds of people are, knows you never point a weapon at a person unless you intend to shoot that person. That's the only moment in which you do that. You also always check to see if there's any sort of bullet in the chamber of the gun. I know this is radio, you can't see me, but I'm doing it. I'm pulling back to see if I have a bullet in my imaginary gun that I'm not holding in my hand right now, because it's the first thing anyone who has a gun does. You always check to see if it's loaded, to see if it's empty, and you would know the difference between a blank and a real bullet. This is something Alec should have known. He also never should have pointed the gun, no matter for what reason, why someone would be standing behind a camera or something, at a person. It never should have happened. And you never should have pulled the trigger with someone down the barrel of your weapon, regardless of what you thought was in it. All those things, again, are things that any responsible, safe gun owner knows. And so Alec Baldwin and his defense team saying it was a tragedy, it was an accident, but he committed no crime. Absolutely throw out every lesson you're supposed to learn about doing this responsibly. And you know what the more valuable conversation in all this is? And I kind of think it's fascinating. I'm relatively new to being a gun owner. I've only been trying to learn how to shoot for the last couple years. I got a few buddies who are experts that bring me shooting and give me all kinds of tips and stuff. And what I think is fascinating is individuals who've never tried it, who have no understanding of it or what it's like or any of the aspects about how responsible people are who do this, that judge it, that think that every part of this is bad or gun control is the only way to prevent people from hurting other people or whatever the crap is that the politicians say. And I imagine that Alec Baldwin and a bunch of Hollywood even fall into that category, which means they would probably resist learning the correct way to do this sort of thing, which I think opens up the opportunity for something as horrible as what happened on the Rust set to actually happen. If you're someone that's been around gun safety and, you know, people who do things correctly and legally, I think it would never happen. And actually, even CNN had a headline out there where Alec Baldwin broke the cardinal rules of gun safety, which he absolutely did. And I just demonstrated two of them for you. You always check to see if a gun is loaded when it's been handed to you. And you never, ever in any circumstance, other than when you actually intend to defend yourself against somebody, point your gun at a human being, no matter what you think is in or not in it. Even an empty gun doesn't get pointed at people as a joke. Those are reasons why he's guilty of something. And those are reasons, again, why, and I've seen this time and again, now that I've actually been with people who teach others how to responsibly enjoy your right to own a gun or go to the shooting range or whatever it is you want to do. When I watch other people experience it and their opinion of it change, the idea of what it is, how it works, and how people do it responsibly, it profoundly impacts anyone, even the most anti-gun people out there, when they actually witness the way things are done right and not the way that, say, a criminal would behave who doesn't give a crap if a gun is legal or not, if they're going to go ahead and try to use it to harm other people. This is, again, one of the biggest flaws in this conversation. But I just found it kind of fascinating that as Alec Baldwin is brought into a courtroom and his defense attorneys are going to try to defend him for doing something he never should have done, the biggest thing that would benefit him is one of the biggest boogeymen to the left, and that would be understanding how to responsibly use a gun. All right, I'll take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download The Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. Find Dana everywhere, D Lash or Dana Lash Radio on X on Twitter. I'm also out there as Radio Craig C if you want to find me. Mostly on Facebook is where I do anything. All right, let's do a quick five.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A couple ones out there that I thought were interesting. BMW is recalling over 390,000 vehicles because of faulty, quote, exploding airbags. These are airbags that might suddenly just go off while you're driving the car with no real reason to do it. That's a concern for anyone that owns these BMWs. So as I said, some of the M Sport steering wheel equipped cars are being recalled, 390,000 of them, because it's bad. You don't really want that. This is mostly in 2006, 2011, 3-series sedans, several different ones out there. You can look up more information if you need it. AI speech clone is so real that makers of it say it's potentially a risk that's too dangerous to be put out into the world. That's great. When people who work hard on AI and then create something that can mimic the voice of anybody with very little actually input, then realize, hey, this thing we made is terrible and we made it purely for research purposes is what they said, but we probably shouldn't release it to the world because, well, no one's going to have any idea who's real and who's not. They call it VAL-E2, by the way. I'm not sure why I'm now naming it. Hopefully it never sees the light of day for people. But darn it, there's probably some AI already out there that basically does the same thing. Another story I saw, this was in the New York Post. Some young moms are turning to, quote, magic mushrooms to deal with the stress of parenting. Is it safe? Is a question that was being asked. I think Fox News is another place that reported on this. Apparently 30,000 people follow an Instagram account, Moms on Mushrooms, which is touting all the supposed benefits of taking psychedelic substances while trying to deal with anything and everything involving your children. Probably not a good look. I don't remember mom back in the day when I was a kid having to pop in some medicinal mushrooms in order to make it through her. And she had two young boys at one point and a single mom raising both of us. My brother and I were morons, but I'm glad that you never went this road, even if people are saying it might enhance your emotional and mental well-being and also not enhance your understanding of reality of what's going on around you. That's one of several reasons I think that's a worrisome thing. Another story out there that I saw that I thought was kind of funny. More and more people are opting to bring their dogs on their honeymoon. This is something that young people are saying is fun. I love my dog. I would not have wanted to bring it on my honeymoon for a variety of reasons. But travel agents, even hotel managers, are now promoting the idea of having a romantic honeymoon-esque week at their establishment that is also pet-friendly. And some of the dogs in some of these photos are dressed up, having gone to the wedding in little bow ties and whatnot, and then I assume going to the honeymoon. There can be too much in a lot of worlds. And again, I love my dog, but there can definitely be a too much. And I would think that if the significant other wants to take the dog with you on the honeymoon, that might be a too much moment. And then one last thing that went viral that I thought was pretty funny. A girlfriend was making fun of her boyfriend for calling a potato chip brand Miss Vicky's, saying how much he loved the potato chips, hanging up the phone, and thinking that he probably just talked to, quote, Miss Vicky. I don't know if it's something that people are enjoying because it's wholesome, or also that this man might be, you know, not all mentally there. But apparently he was happy that he went and called and told Miss Vicky how much he likes her potato chips. And that's the kind of thing that goes viral on the internet, along with dogs on honeymoons. This is the world we live in, people. I didn't make it. I just talk about it from time to time. Quick break, a lot more. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. You can find her everywhere, as you just heard, Apple, Spotify, DanaRadio.com, D-Lash, or DanaLash Radio on X, and all over YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, DirecTV, Channel 347. All right. First, the Babylon Bee made a heck of a joke last night that went viral. Babylon Bee, of course, a satirical place that is awesome and makes a lot of people laugh. Having exhausted all other options, Obama invites Biden paddleboarding. Oh, man, that is dark, but hilarious. And people who don't know the reference, just look Obama chef up and paddleboarding at Martha's Vineyard. Not something that went so well for that guy. Other things out there. I thought this was interesting. Trump called in to a Fox News show and had a conversation with Brian Kilmeade about Nikki Haley not going to the Republican National Convention. Nikki Haley, who recently released her delegates to Trump, something that kind of usually happens anyway, whether it happens that way or some other version of it. Delegates often pick the person who's won the nomination by the time you get there. But nonetheless, Trump was asked if he thought it was a shame that Nikki wasn't going and if he'd actually invite her. And he was noncommittal about it, but did say that he feels bad for her. Here we go.
I don't know. I'm going to take a look at it. I want to see. I know she gave her delegates over. You know, there was a lot of bad blood there. She stayed too long. She was being soundly defeated at every place, but she just wouldn't leave. And so we had to continue onward for 2 extra months, which was ridiculous. And she was doing badly. She was losing badly. But, I mean, her mistake was she continued on. She just, you know, keep going. I had that the first time, too. You know, I had a gentleman from Ohio continued on. He just wouldn't, you know, just kept going. He wasn't getting anything. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't getting any votes, but he continued on. There's a time to which you leave. You know, Ron DeSantis left right after Iowa.
He did.
She should have left right after Iowa. She came in third. She didn't come in second. Ron came in second. But he left after Iowa because he said there was no way he could win.
So you're still a little angry that she stayed in so long.
She came in third. There was no way. So I just say this. You know, I wish she didn't stay so long.
Right.
Yes, you do wish she didn't stay so long. But he said he did feel bad for her that she's not invited to the RNC. And he'll think about it. He'll think about bringing her along. Of course, the big thing will be whether or not his vice presidential pick is made in the next couple days. He was even toying the Miami crowd and Marco Rubio as he was talking quite a bit about who that vice presidential candidate can be. Some people are thinking that J.D. Vance might be a big pick for that. But nonetheless, one of the other stories out there, and it doesn't sound at all like it's going to be Nikki Haley. I want to play some audio from Cincinnati, from Fox 19, which I imagine is on your side or covering the news that matters most every day or some other cliche news slogan. They were talking about how a bunch of West African illegal immigrants just showed up at a food bank in Cincinnati, unable to even ask for food, but definitely wanted food. And one of the guys who runs the food bank said that it was incredibly hard for them because there's a whole bunch of people there that you couldn't talk to. Here's what that sounds like.
We just had 1,000 Africans show up in the community.
Mauritanians from West Africa finding their way to Cincinnati. piling in here.
But 100 came to our doors last Friday, and we're wiped out of food.
It was a laborious process to help.
We don't know where they're from. We don't know how to communicate with them, and it created quite an issue for us.
This population is finding its way to Cincinnati from a new route posted on TikTok and WhatsApp. An immigration loophole in Nicaragua allows relaxed entry requirements and makes a low-cost visa available for purchase without proof of onward travel.
It's crazy because it then maps how these individuals are traveling from Africa to Europe, to Colombia, to El Salvador, to Mexico, across the border, and then eventually to Cincinnati, Ohio, of all places. I've heard things about Ohio being a battleground state. How odd that some of the decision making is to go there. One other thing that I saw that I thought was interesting and just other news out there, not talking about Biden or even Trump. But certainly talking about how important it is to have somebody in the White House or in positions of power throughout our country that care about how crazy crime has gotten. This was an NBC News affiliate in D.C. Doing a story about a Lululemon store that had been robbed, and it gets robbed while they're there filming their shot about the previous robbery. Here's what it sounds like when you report on two robberies at once. Assuming that you weren't going to see a second one when you went out to the location to talk about the first one.
We were here looking into the earlier crime when this happened. The video shows three women, two were wearing surgical masks, grabbing big armfuls of clothing from the Lululemon store on Clarendon Boulevard in Arlington. They appeared to be in no hurry. One woman stopped to pick up items falling out of her overloaded arms. The video was taken at 7:11 p.m. That is only 2 hours after the store had been targeted for an earlier organized theft crime. In that case, two women grabbed armloads of pricey athletic wear and walked out without paying. We're not sure if the same people were involved in both cases.
Yeah, they were wearing masks. How crazy that masks can be used to hide your identity while you commit crimes. But the NBC team, which I've actually often made fun of this, they sent a crew to report on a thing that had already happened somewhere, and you just stand outside that place. It's like when you report on the weather and you're just standing outside and you're like, the weather's bad and we're out here to tell you it's bad. But luckily for them, this is DC or any other giant city that has a bunch of crime issues, and they got to capture another crime on film as they're standing there trying to report on the first one. It's a certain level of arrogance, too, in all honesty. For people to walk up to some place, see a film crew from a local news affiliate shooting something on the street and being like, we're still doing it. We're here. This was our planned time to rob Lululemon. We don't want to back out of this now and do something else for a little bit and come back when they leave. We'll just go ahead and do this in front of everybody, and who cares? Doesn't matter at all. It's crazy. That's something that honestly you don't usually see in a country like ours, but sadly you've been seeing a lot more recently. All right, one other piece of audio that I did love that's out there today. This is Representative Matt Gaetz, and he's walking through a very complicated discussion about critical race theory, CRT, and how even the foundational beliefs of the theory itself go against the way in which our government, or specifically our military, is teaching and utilizing it, which is something, it's a deep dive of a point. It's a really good point to be made. But nonetheless, it sort of even demonstrates that the way in which politicians weaponize and reuse information doesn't even actually typically always reflect the original thoughts of the original people. Whether or not you'd agree with them is irrelevant. Well, maybe somewhat relevant, because it's going even further into a certain rabbit hole that you don't want to be in, especially in the world of our military. But here's a little bit of what Gaetz said about CRT and the government, and how crazy it is to teach this as part of any sort of basic training or anything else. When the reality, if you know any veterans, if you know anyone, especially someone who's actually fought in a conflict, but anybody who's served our country by willingly enlisting in our military, you know that the things they're taught about, you know, fighting and defending us are way more important than any of the ideological things that might be a byproduct of the world we live in right now. It's crazy. When I talk to older veterans about some of the discussions going on in the military right now, it makes them so mad because they think that people are going to be less prepared for the reality of actually defending our country. And sadly, they'd know better than I if that was true, because you're focused on the absolutely wrong things. But here we go.
I've heard my colleagues say that we need to learn critical race theory so as to better unify. And I don't think that really reflects a reading of John O'Callaghan and bell hooks and people who don't present critical race theory as a unifying ideology. Critical race theory is an explicit critique of the civil rights movement. It is a critique of Martin Luther King saying that people write in the principal text of critical race theory that the civil rights movement got it wrong because the civil rights movement sought to have us come together as a nation and live in one country.
I can even just find that a little bit better. And it's one of the more fascinating studies about any sort of protest, any sort of cause that a society or a group of people take up, and the need to attract people that are not within your group, whatever your cause is, but people who will support you and see you as, you know, someone who is trying to do something good in the world. You need advocates that are not actually the, you know, core people that are a part of anything in order for a movement to succeed. There's a lot of studies on that. But what Gates is saying is that a lot of critical race theory thinks that the civil rights movement should have been more violent. It should have been more divisive. It should not have called for all men to be created equal and looked at equally. And, you know, the I Have a Dream speech's flaw was pretending that someday in some future, everyone would be thought of as the same. No. It's very much about tearing down a system and blaming certain people, say white guys mostly, for all the problems of our society. I find that very interesting for Gates to point that out a little bit more from how he ties it into the military issues.
So this is a separatist ideology. And I want to make clear, we're not trying to limit people's reading or understanding of things. Do that on your own time. But when it comes to the United States military, we should not be teaching people that immutable traits like their race define their destiny. Critical.
Amen to that last thing he said. And by the way, you know, one of my other favorite things about hanging out with veterans, something I've done a lot more over the last couple years as I've worked with some veteran organizations through some of the radio stuff I've done, is how anything is on the table as far as a joke goes. This can be a joke between a white guy and a black guy. This can be a joke between a man and a woman, anybody. If you're military and you joke about certain things, someone who's woke, someone who's far left would sit at a table and be so upset that everybody seems to be having a good time and laughing. But I've asked a bunch of military about that, especially, you know, older generations, about why that's such a powerful way to unify people and not to separate people. And what I hear from everyone, anyone, it doesn't matter what they look like, who they are, what they say is by joking about all that stuff, we throw it into the back of our brains. We make all of this unimportant issues and unimportant things. And we actually do come together and realize that the purpose of what we're doing is fighting an enemy and defending our country and not trying to think of each other as potentially a bad guy in some way, shape, or form. That's one of the most powerful things the military does, is it teaches individuals who serve in it what is and isn't actually important in our society and what is and is not worth, say, fighting for or dying for. And it's crazy to think about that and think about the ways in which some of these things are discussed now by young people who I'd be terrified if they were ever drafted and forced to defend our country. I'm proud of those who willingly serve. And I've met a lot of young people that impress the hell out of me as far as the people that I meet that are part of our military. But there's a whole lot of other people who would be concerned about all the wrong things. And I think that's the point Gates is very well making in talking about, well, how CRT has no place in our military and in military training. All right, I'll take one last break, a little bit more coming up after this. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
That's right, this is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in, danaradio.com for her chapter and verse newsletter, all things Dana, also D-Lash or Dana Lash Radio on Twitter, on X, all the places you can find her. I'm Radio Craig C. If you want to find me somewhere, I'd be honored for people that listen to Dana to follow me. Let's do some feel-good stuff, some other things I saw out there, and then eventually we'll get to our Today in Stupidity moment toward the end of this. A woman saved a man's life at a Rolling Stone concert. The dude's 78 years old. His name is Tony. He's trying to find her. He'd like to find the woman that saved his life. Kind of fittingly, or sort of as an awesome side note, Start Me Up was playing as she brought him back to life. Here's a little bit of Tony talking about his quest to find the woman who kept him alive at a Rolling Stone concert.
I slumped back in my seat and my eyes rolled back, as I've been told, and I was actually foaming at the mouth. My wife started saying, help, help, and then she helped. And boy, did she help. Within split seconds, a woman two rows over noticed that I was in trouble and began administering CPR on me immediately. I think I give her a big hug.
Yeah.
A very big hug and thank her.
I think she deserves a big hug. I also wonder how many people just thought it was a gimmick or a joke since Start Me Up was playing as this woman was doing CPR and bringing a guy back to life. But nonetheless, she saved him. Tony's looking for her. He's in Massachusetts. He's hoping to find her. I hope he finds her too. That's incredible. Human beings being nice to other human beings. It happens every day. We don't talk about it all the time. One other thing out there that I saw is just a quick story. The end of an era, people are calling it. Target, one of many places, announcing that they will no longer take personal checks. That's something that they're going to do away with in the very near future. I don't know many people who pay with a personal check anywhere they go anymore, but I'm sure it still happens occasionally. And that money's no good here anymore. One in five people over 66 say that they've written a check or several checks each month. I don't know how many of those people are actually writing checks at, say, places like Target. But nonetheless, people are going to stop doing it. The reason why, according to the store, is not that it's, you know, bad for them somehow, but there's just an extremely low volume of this happening anyway. So too bad, so sad, not going to happen any longer. I've never in my life, but I'm a millennial, written a check at a grocery store, any sort of, you know, box store for anything. I've paid all different kinds of other ways, cash, credit card, my cell phone, what have you, never a check. So that's probably part of the reason why. All right, let's get to it. Let's do Today in Stupidity.
All right, we're here. There's so many Democrats to choose from today, just like going crazy and trying to figure out what they're saying. But I think I found one of my favorites. Debbie Dingell, I think she's out of Michigan. Sure. I'm not sure what state, but here's her illogical thinking of why she came up with the way she did. So
I do just want to ask you again if you think President Biden is the strongest person at the top of the ticket to win Michigan in the fall.
He's the candidate right now. And these are do you beat your wife kind of questions. You know, who is the strong? Everybody said Hillary Clinton's the strongest candidate. She's going to win. And I told you all in 2015, 2016, Donald Trump was going to win. I loved Hillary, but she wasn't the strongest candidate. What we got to do is go out and talk the issues. And we got to make sure we talk about what Joe Biden's accomplished, what the vision is, what Democrats stand for, that what I mean, I do.
Clearly sane.
Oh, yeah. So I love that at the end of that, she's even rambling like, what? I mean, anyway, whatever you're talking about, but he's the candidate. And these are, wow, do you beat your wife style of questions? I don't think they're anything like that at all. Debbie Dingell. I do like that her last name is Dingell, though. Something about that makes me very happy, too. And yes, the 12th Congressional District of Michigan is where that Democrat comes from. Good luck to Democrats. I don't mean that for real. But when these are the people that are defending Biden as a pick and these are the ways that they're defending him, how dare you ask me that totally rational and valuable question? That's horrible. And you need to go away and no go away now. It definitely is stupid. All right. This is The Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins filling in. See you guys some other time.